Well, we appreciate you. All right. Well, good morning, everyone, once again. Here we are, second week of September. See? How good is that? Okay. Today, I'm talking about being and becoming. This month, our theme, we're exploring what divine order is. Yeah, that sounds really dry, doesn't it? If we are just talking about divine order, that sounds really dry and not fun. But I'll tell you, it's one of the best concepts. It's one of the best divine qualities. It's one of the most empowering, interesting things that I've ever experienced, divine order. And it really does sound really dry. So I'm changing it, making really like better top titles and all of that. So what we are doing this month is we're looking at our place in the universe. Right, one of the things that comes up for everyone in the human experience is at some point we stand out at night and we look up at the stars and say, where do I belong and what the heck is going on here? And I'm on this planet that's spinning through the universe and how is that? And we want to find where we fit. Sometimes when we look and we walk through our lives and it just feels like I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm from Mars. And I don't understand why I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing, or the people are saying what they're saying, or, you know, things happen, and it's like, wait a minute, how does that work? And there's a deep desire within to understand the context in which we live. And maybe we don't have the words to say that that's what we're wanting, but there's a feeling deep in our hearts that part of the human experience, part of this adventure that we're having in this life is to figure out where we belong, is to figure out what part we play in life. And so what we're doing this month is we're going back to the foundation of our teaching, the science of mind, and looking at the philosophy from that perspective of how things unfold, because there is a divine order to it. And so last week we started by talking about God. And God, as we see it, is not that Santa Claus up on the cloud that you don't want to get mad at you. So you got to be good now, so he'll be nice to you later, right? There's this idea that we do good work now, so later on that we'll get our reward, right? That's not how we see it. We see God as that creator, the divine architect of the universe, that is the life principle that is unfolding, constantly creating more of itself, and that we are part of it. Everything in creation is part of the divine unfoldment. And so everything is part of God's creation. There's nothing outside of God. There is only God. And so we start from that foundation, and we realize that we are part of it. If everything is the divine unfoldment, if everything is the divine creation, then, oh, when I look in the mirror, I'm part of, I'm created, so I must be part of that divine creation. There's not God and anything. God plus anything equals God, right? And so we are that presence. There's a divine spark within each and every one of us that is spirit. The reason why we are alive is because we are the emanation of the One. And so today, my talk is about being and becoming. And part of that is because we are being, right? We are alive and awake, and we're doing the best that we can do in any one moment. I firmly believe that with the awareness and the experience and the situation of our life, everybody is doing the best they can with what they got right now. But we are also becoming. We are not only being, we are becoming. And so we are constantly growing, we are constantly expanding, we are constantly evolving to who we have come here to be in this life. So we are being and becoming. I was remembering this morning of one of my quantum physics teachers in my master's program. His name is Dr. Amit Goswami. He was our local movie star, because he was the star of What the Bleep, that's about 15 years ago, that movie. So I got to study with him. And he told us that Frank Sinatra was the most spiritually balanced person ever. And I remember going, what? And he said, yeah, he was the one who sang Doobie-Doobie-Doo. And I was like, okay, all right. Well, because we don't want to be too much on either side of it, right? The idea of, it's really easy to be spiritual if we're sitting on a mountaintop in meditation. that's really easy to feel the presence of God and to look out on the vista of life. And it's really easy in life to be doing, right? That we get on that hamster wheel of life. Let me tell you what my weekend was like. Holy moly. Everything was great, but it's a lot of stuff going on in this life if we allow ourselves to get sucked up into it. And so we need the balance of the doing and the being. We need that balance to remember that we are greater than any situation that comes up in our life, that there's a part of us that transcends it. And so we are looking to be in that balance of being and doing. One of the things I love the most about this philosophy is that science of mind gives us an understanding of our place in the universe. It really does give us that understanding of where we fit. Because let's face it, sometimes life can feel like we are out in the middle of the ocean on a tiny little boat. And there are days when the sun is shining and the water is calm, right? And we hit the right current and the breeze is just enough to take us where we want to go and the water's sparkling and everything's beautiful. Can you get that picture? You know what those moments of your life when they feel like that? And there's just peace in our hearts because we know there's a great joy and a great peace for us. And then the wind picks up, right? We get out of the current that's taking us right where we want to go. And the waves start to toss us around a little bit. And there we are without a rudder, without a motor, and we're getting tossed willy-nilly all over the place. And it feels like we are out of control. Do you ever have moments like that? Or is it just me? Okay, yeah. And then so what happens is we end up praying, oh, God, get me into that other place again. No, don't let that happen. I don't want that to happen. Oh, let me get over here. And we pray to whatever, please, 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 please make it better. But that doesn't help. It doesn't help to beseech something outside of ourselves to fix it. It's not, life is not about that. What science of mind teaches us is it reminds us and puts us into that whole hierarchy of being where we are part of the creative force. We are not at effect. We are not powerless and hoping that something might change. We have a part to play in our lives. And that may be a little bit scary because we have to take some responsibility for where we got, right? That's the reason why I have a great invitation for everyone to come into Foundations this year with me, because let's learn how we can start to take responsibility for where we got with some compassion and some acceptance for ourselves. Because we got where we are now, and it may feel like we're in the bottom of a hole that we dug ourselves, you know. But it's okay, because we realize we can get out of that hole. We can take some steps to make some shifts and awaken our consciousness to be able to move out into a different experience. That's what the science of mind teaches us, and that's the greatest experience that we can have. The thing I love about this is that it gives us the perspective of life. I was thinking about it when I was driving in this morning, and there's some movie, and of course, you know, I've got a 10-year-old, so I've been watching cartoon movies for almost 18 years now, because our older kids are in their early 20s and one's 30, and so I've been watching cartoon movies for 18 years now. I'm like, can we start seeing those PG-13 movies yet, where they're not all cartoons? I'd like to go see something else. But I remember that there's some, I think it might be Ants or something, but there's the whole idea of you're in a movie and you're seeing what's happening in the story, right? There's this great adventure that's happening, and I think in the Ants movie, it's all about what's happening in the ant colony, right? And so it's a big commentary on society and different cultures and all of that, blah, blah, blah. But in the end, what they do is when the story resolves itself, and of course they come to peace and an understanding of each other, they start to pull out of the picture of what's happening, right? So it's like that crane shot that comes out and starts to give you the perspective, and you start to see a wider view of what you're seeing. And the whole story that has taken an hour and a half to unfold has taken place in a 4-foot square block. Right? This whole huge adventure has taken place, and you start to see the context of what the story had, you know, that there's this great big, and it blows your mind, right? Because, oh my God, all of this happened right here, and then it's an infinite experience that's happening all around us. So it's about putting ourselves in perspective and starting to see a different way. And so we have to get on that crane and take ourselves back out to start to see the context of the life that we're living. Because we don't exist in a vacuum. Our lives are in the context of everyone we're coming through this life with. Our family and our friends, the people that we choose to spend our time with, and the way that we move through our days. And so we realize in the science of mind that that all has an effect on us, and we create that because we choose that context in which we live. And if there's something that we don't like, if there's a certain way that we're showing up, when you get the perspective on it, you can shift it, you can change it, you can start to make a different choice. We can start to choose the people who see us for who we are. We can start to spend our time with people who build us up instead of keep limitations or support the limitations that we have created for ourselves. We get to be free. We get to make different choices, and we can do it with compassion and with love. This isn't about cutting off a whole group of people that you just don't like. It's about making choices for your well-being and for your goodness and for your life experience. And so we started this month talking about the Declaration of Principles, which is our what we believe statement. We are looking through this month, we're walking through our relationship and seeing our place in the divine order by looking at what religious science believes, the foundation of this belief system, the science of mind, of what we teach. Because in that, there is great connection to the divine order and realizing who we are in that. And so last week, like I said, we talked about God as the foundation, that one presence that exists, and that everything that comes from that. Everything that is part of that divine essence and presence. And I like the word spirit. I'm comfortable with the word God. We talk about this all the time. You can put whatever word is in there that works for you. I like the word God. I like the word spirit. I love the word the force. And you could call it love. You could call it whatever resonates with your heart. But it's that presence, that overarching wisdom and mind and love that has created all that is and is constantly unfolding. So as we look this week, we're going to look at who we are in relation to it. So we're going to go on with our Declaration of Principles. And the first one is this: that we believe in the individualization of the spirit in us, and that all people are individualizations of the one spirit. Each and every one of us is an individualized expression of the one. So as from Jody's reading today, the Bible teaches us that we are made in the image and likeness of God. I think so often in the conversations about God that are out there in the world, we make God in the image and likeness of us, right? That we humanize the divine presence. And I think that that's where all of that talk and all of that idea of a judging presence that we could get mad at us, we could anger, that vengeful God, that those ideas are human made. This is not the presence. This is not the pure essence that has created all things, that transcends all religion, that is. And so it's in that we realize that we got to flip the switch here. We have to flip it and realize that we are part of that infinite divine source. So that mind that holds all knowledge, that knows everything from all of the ages, we have access to it. We have a divine connection to it. That heart that can forgive anything. That heart that can understand and bring compassion to any challenge or situation, that's God's heart. And so we don't try and do it from our own being, muscling it up. We surrender to the greater and allow that presence to come into our experience. That's allowing ourselves to be made in the image and likeness of the divine. God is love. It's stated throughout the Bible that God is the presence of love. It's the main teachings of Jesus. And so if God is love and we're made in the image and likeness of God, well, the core of us is love. It's powerful, transformative love. And so from our book of the month, and I gotta do it. I'm sad. I gotta do it. I'm praying over this, needing my glasses these days. I get over it, I got two choices on that. I can accept it or I can fight it. I'm not fighting it, right? Okay. All right, so I love this. I love this little book that we've got. It's in the bookstore, What Religious Science Teaches. And so Ernest Holmes says this: not only is every individual an incarnation of God and therefore a manifestation of Christ, but since each individual is unique, every person has access to God in a personal sense. The Spirit is most certainly personal to each one of us, individually and uniquely personal. We could not ask for a more complete union than this, for the union is absolute, immediate, and dynamic. And so often I talk about connecting with the God of your heart. Your God is not necessarily showing up to you the way that my God is showing up to me. I can't say that you should go and sit on the beach and look at the waves and feel God. I can't promise that that's going to happen to you. It happens for me. I can go and hold a tree. I am a professed tree hugger. And I will go and hug a tree and I can feel the presence of God. But maybe it's looking in your baby's eyes. Maybe it's walking out at night and seeing the stars and realizing that you're part of that divine universe. You have a connection to the divine, and it's personal and immediate to you. That's the exciting piece of it. We don't have to pray far away and hope that we get an answer. There is a direct, immediate response when we reach out. There's a song. Oh, I'm going on down a road. I don't know the ending to it. But there's a song that says that when I turn to God, God turns to me. I never really liked it because it seemed like there was a separation in it. If I reach for God, God will reach for me. But I get it now, because if I take my conscious awareness and I say, you know what? I know that there's a presence that's part of my heart. I need you to show up now. I need to feel this. It immediately shows up. If I allow it to speak to me the way that it speaks to me. So we are called, each and every one of us, to deepen our own relationship to the divine of your heart. How does God show up for you? Where do you feel it? How do you know that it's not your own ego talking in your head when Spirit gives you a directive? There's a quality, there's a difference, right? It feels different when the divine shows up. Are you conscious of that? And if you're not, my assignment, I'll give you an assignment, is to be conscious and to ask. I really want to feel that presence. I really want to know that I'm connected to something greater. And I'll tell you, when you ask with the sincerity of your heart to feel the divine presence, it shows up in magnificent and amazing ways. And sometimes we just forget, or we don't allow it to show up in the way that it's showing up. We think, oh, it should be this. Not everybody's going to get a burning bush. Not everyone's going to get the voice coming out of the rock. But it is going to speak to you in the way that you will hear it if you allow yourselves to hear it. And so then it goes on to say that we believe in the eternality, the immortality, and the continuity of the individual soul forever and ever expanding. I love that one, because that's who we are. We are part of the eternal presence of God, and we are eternal. And so again, Ernest Holmes says here that immortality is not something we purchase. It's not a bargain we make with the Almighty. It's the gift of heaven. It's inherent in the divine nature of humankind. God is life, and that which is life cannot produce death. What we call death is but a transition from one plane or one mode of expression into another. In my Father's house are many mansions. Science of mind, for a long time, the people in religious science don't like to say death. Or they don't like to say dead, or they don't like to say that they've died. They've made their transition, right? And for a long time, I've fought against that. This is my own little personal thing about it. But I fought against it because we have to realize what that means. But death is a transition. Death is a transformation. That whole idea of the butterfly, I use that as the image this week because we do. We transform. We transform in this body, in this life. And when we step out into the next one, we transition into another transformation. Nothing is lost. It just transitions and transforms. You know, we were called religious science for a whole long time. And we changed the name. I said this last week. I think we changed the name a couple years ago, a number of years ago, to the Centers for Spiritual Living rather than the Church of Religious Science because everybody confused us with Scientology. And God bless them and what they're doing. I got nothing but love for anybody who's trying to teach people to be greater. That's fine. But the challenge was is that what we lost in that was the idea of who we are as an organization. This philosophy was always seen to be the bridge between this rift that happened hundreds of years ago with Descartes and science and science and religion. It's not spirituality, because most scientists are more spiritual than most religious people, I think. You know, but the whole idea that there's this rift between that has deepened and deepened and deepened over the years, that you can't believe in science and God at the same time, I think that's hogwash. Because what we're realizing is that we have faith in how things operate, and we have faith in the presence of God and the creative process and how unfoldment happens. I don't need science to prove it, but it is. It's starting to prove it. This philosophy came up around the same time that quantum physics came into being, that mode of study back in the 20s. And it started to be solidified as we've gone through these years. And every once in a while, a new study will come out, right? We find the God particle, or we prove in this, we prove in that, and all of that. And I love it because I don't really need it, but every once in a while, I'm like, yeah, oh, cool, yeah, great. See, we're on the right path. And at some point, they're going to be able to prove that we are energy, that we are transforming, that we are transcendent. And so I found something this was about a year or so back, and because science is moving towards understanding what we teach, that there is only life and it never ends, that we are immortal and eternal. And this was an article that says, you've always existed and you always will. And it says this: one theory of this is that consciousness is created on a quantum subatomic scale through energy, which is constantly contained in the universe. The theory is based on Einstein's famous quote when he said, "Energy cannot be created or destroyed, it can only be changed from one form to another." Dr. David Hamilton said, "All consciousness is and always has been in the universe through quantum particles, and when you're born, it's channeled into a physical being." Writing for the website Heal Your Life, Dr. Hamilton said, "I believe that each of us exists before we are born on this earth." He added, "Each of us is pure consciousness currently focused in a physical dimension." Science would typically say that life is random, ultimately stemming from the random birth of subatomic particles, but I don't quite agree with that. Mainstream science says that consciousness must be a side effect of brain chemistry. But I believe that the brain merely affects consciousness, much in the same way that the quality of wiring in a TV affects the signal processing and thus the quality of the picture you get. The TV does not create the program, and nor does the brain create consciousness. Consciousness is something fundamental to nature. It's stitched into the very fabric of reality. Consciousness transcends time and space, he said. He added, "If you start with the assumption that you exist as pure consciousness, then you must have existed before you were born. Really, you are everywhere and everywhere." So science is catching up to what we've known for a long time, that we transcend this plane, that the place where we are here for an experience, we're here for, I like to say, an adventure, because let's make life some fun if we're going to be here, because we could choose to make it hard or we could choose to make it fun. And which do you want? Yeah, exactly. That's why we sang Three Little Birds today, because we have a choice. We have a choice as to how we relate to this life. We have a choice as to how we walk through our days. We have a choice as to what we realize about ourselves. Let's realize that we transcend any of this limitation we put on ourselves, and we are the ones that put these limitations on ourselves, these beliefs that we hold that we're not enough or that we can't do it or I'm too young, too old, too whatever. That's our own mind reflecting that to us. If we flip the switch and realize the true nature of our being, then all possibility opens for us. And so then this is the last one that we're going to talk about today, is that we believe that heaven is within us and that we experience it to the degree that we become conscious of it. Okay, I think this is the one that I would back in the day be burned at the stake to say. I hope there's no stakes out back. All right, heaven is not a place we go to after. Heaven is not a place that we get to if we're good. Heaven is not a place that is waiting for us paved in gold, right? Heaven is the experience that we have of our being. And yes, we will create heaven after this life or hell. But we create heaven or hell while we're here in this life too. And if you think about it for a second, I'm not calling you out on your own stuff, but think about someone in your life who is creating hell on earth right now for themselves. Let's send them some love and some compassion and know that they have a choice to make a different choice. That they're not stuck there. That we have an opportunity to step up, to empower ourselves, to realize that this is an experience that we get to create and choose. It may stretch us. We may need to change our perspective. We may need to let go of some things that we're afraid of to let go of, because sometimes those limitations are comforting. Sometimes the small little box that we create to live in makes us feel safe. And that big wide world out there is a scary world to move into when we are not connected to the power and the presence that has sent us here. But we're never alone. If we are part of that divine presence, if we are part of that emanation, if we are the creation of God here to have an experience for the infinite one to know itself better, we have all of that behind us. We're not out there on that ocean in that little boat by ourselves. We are ever not only being, we are becoming. And so each step that we take in expansion, each moment we have where we open to possibility, each moment where we step forward courageously and share our heart, speak our truth, give our love, we create more and more of heaven on earth. The kingdom of heaven is within. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Those were the main teachings of Jesus. His teachings were about the kingdom of heaven, and he never said, hopefully you'll get into the kingdom of heaven with me if you're good. He never taught that. He never said that. What he said was that we experience the kingdom of heaven here and now. And so from the book of Matthew, he taught us that he talks a lot about all the different ways that you can experience the kingdom of heaven. And the one that spoke to me this week was he said we need to become like the little children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so if you think about it, the little children have that open mind. They're still connected to their intuitive nature. They have not been hardened by the years of seeing what's happening in the world and in our lives. When we're a child, we believe purely. We're connected to our hearts. And so when we do our spiritual practice and get to that place where we can see life like that, where we can see the presence of God like that, when we can see that there is goodness here, when we can let go of the jaded years that we've carried with us, we can begin to realize that heaven is at hand, that we can experience life differently. And so I went back to a couple of the different philosophies to look at what they say about heaven. From Taoism, they say, without going outside his door, without looking out from his window, one sees the Tao of heaven. The farther one goes from himself, the less he knows. What is heavenly is internal. What is human is external. From the Upanishads, it says, as far as mind extends, so far extends heaven. The kingdom of God is not something we create. It's not something we can bargain for or buy. We realize it. We realize it through our own being. And as we awaken to it, we create more of it. And so we are being. We are being the best that we can be. We are realizing who we are, and our spiritual work is to remember, to explore who we are, to remember that we are greater than this limited, defined personality we think we are. We plumb the depths. We do our meditation. We spend our time with people who see the truth of us. We allow love to be present in our life. We are being the best we can be, and as we are doing that, we are becoming. We are constantly expanding. We are constantly growing. We are constantly expressing more of who we are. And as we do that courageously, we create heaven on earth. That's why we're here. We are part of that infinite divine creative force. this world, this is a manifestation. This universe is a manifestation. It's God's masterpiece. And we are part of that glorious, beautiful masterpiece. Can we allow the beauty that we are, the power that we are, the love that we are to be expressed? Because when we do that, we fulfill the divine's intention, the divine heart, and we create heaven on earth. And that's what we're here to do. And so it is.